The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. You're listening to Anthony Pipes Hall and Kelly Dr. K. Caulfield, and this is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man with...
Hey, gang, welcome back to the Devil's Advocate. Dr. K here, Kelly Caulfield, faculty member at the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. And who's this next to me?
You know me. Tony here with the arrogant Dr. K trying to take over my show.
Tony, welcome back. Good to see you.
We had a great winter break. It's been a couple months off the year now, I think almost exactly to the day.
Yeah, but the nice thing is, you know, really nothing happened since the election.
Really,
it's been
boring.
Pretty slow.
I mean, luckily, we don't have a lot to catch up on at all.
We got close to the fiscal cliff, and it looks like we're going to go over it next month. So we just put it off and waited for you guys so that we'd have one more good show to do on the fiscal cliff.
And then we'll run out of money. So
exactly.
You know,
yeah, but that montage is already produced, so we can run that, and it won't cost anything. So I think we're ready to rock.
So since we had nothing to do over the break, what is our show going to be about today, Dr. K?
Well, I guess we can talk about how the folks in Congress also did nothing over the break, because all they did was argue, which is kind of what we do, too. So,
well, at least we have good role models.
That's true. Exactly right, especially in D.C. If you're not familiar with the show, welcome to The Devil's Advocate. What we do is we do the show kind of like those talk radio shows you're familiar with, Ed Schultz, Rush Limbaugh, except instead of taking one side of an issue, we take both.
And then we swap.
Yeah, and then we argue back and forth. I'm always right. And Tony argues the other losing side. It's pretty much how it works on the show.
Except when I'm right.
Which is often. So, yeah, we have some fun. All right, well, so speaking of which, we have something new. We have a coin toss app.
From Apple.
That's right. We actually got it from the App Store. We're going to flip a coin. It's kind of fun because it's not only the audio, but there's actually a coin on the screen that's going to flip. I'm going to hold it up by the speaker, by the microphone, and we're going to do what we do, which is we don't know until the coin flips whether I'm going to be liberal or conservative this week and
vice
versa.
Or whether you're going to be right or wrong.
Well, okay. So, nice. I mean, yeah, well, we already know the answer to that. I don't know who's going to be right or left, but Tony will be wrong. All right. So you said earlier, heads, you're conservative. Okay. So if it's heads, Tony's conservative.
Because I'm looking forward to bashing our liberal president.
All right. Well,
I'm feeling that.
We're going to flip the coin here, and here we go. Oh, tails it is. That means you're liberal, I'm conservative, right?
Yeah. That's,
you
that's
said
right.
It.
Okay,
all right.
Well,
all right.
I guess I
got to change your notes.
Hold on. I got it.
Yeah, so our topic this week, we did have a topic. There was something in the news this week. Valentine's Day? No, there was something big that happened.
They covered that in the morning show this morning, actually.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so
good
we
morning,
don't have to
Texas
revisit
Tech
that.
From 8 to 9 on
Mondays and
Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Very good show featuring all of our staff here at the Raider 88.
That's a fun show with a good crew, unlike us. So they're pretty sharp.
We make do. They have the all-star lineup featuring the GM on the production, where we have to, you know, get our lovely production intern, Christine
Copeland,
to handle
our producer
us today.
Hi, we're waving through two windows. She's over there working at the show.
Okay, so you had something for us today.
Yeah, what was the topic? Was there something in the news yesterday?
Well, I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. The State of the Union Address by President Barack Obama, first of his second term.
And I love that. Something that always happens with the State of the Union is the president will always come out, no matter what the condition of the country, and you'll hear something like this. The radiation's dissipating. We've been able to contact some half of the population from Pittsburgh.
But the state of our union is strong.
Always. Exactly like that. Exactly. So that's how it always goes with the State of the Union.
We could be at war and the state, like civil war, like we will be when the UN rolls into Lubbock and we have to get all our guns. The state of our union is strong.
Judge Head is ready for you.
So
let's, Christy, let's take a listen to the montage, which will set the stage. Here are excerpts not only from the president's, but from the response from the other party. So give a listen to this week's montage, the State of the Union Address.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Thank you. Our businesses have created over 6 million new jobs. We buy more American cars than we have in 5 years, and less foreign oil than we have in 20. We are more than halfway towards the goal of $4 trillion in deficit reduction that economists say we need to stabilize our finances.
Raising taxes won't create private sector jobs, and there's no realistic tax increase that could lower our deficits by almost $4 trillion.
The president seems to think the country can continue to borrow $50,000 every second.
America's energy sector is just one part of an aging infrastructure badly in need of repair. Ask any CEO where they'd rather locate and hire. A country with deteriorating roads and bridges, or one with high-speed rail and internet, high-tech schools, self-healing power grids. I propose a fix-it-first program to put people to work as soon as possible on our most urgent repairs, like the nearly 70,000 structurally deficient bridges across the country.
His solution to virtually every problem we face is for Washington to tax more, borrow more, and spend more. This idea that our problems were caused by a government that was too small, it's just not true.
What America needs is not Robin Hood, but Adam Smith. He described a limited government that largely did not interfere with individuals and their pursuit of happiness.
Our economy is stronger when we harness the talents and ingenuity of striving, hopeful immigrants. And right now, leaders from the business, labor, law enforcement, faith communities, they all agree that the time has come to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Now's the time to do it.
We need a responsible, permanent solution to the problem of those who are here illegally. But first, we must follow through on the broken promises of the past to secure our borders and enforce our laws.
Senators of both parties are working together on tough new laws to prevent anyone from buying guns for resale to criminals. Police chiefs are asking our help to get weapons of war and massive ammunition magazines off our streets. Each of these proposals deserves a vote in Congress. Gabby Giffords deserves a vote. The families of Newtown deserve a vote. The families of Aurora deserve a vote. The families of Oak Creek and Tucson and Blacksburg and the countless other communities ripped open by gun violence, they deserve a simple vote.
Verklempt?
Yeah.
Are you going for like a triple word score? I'm trying to have a moment and you go dropping a word like verklempt.
Yeah, in Miami Beach where we lived, it was pretty common. So, yeah.
Emotional appeal by President Obama about gun violence, something that everybody can relate to.
Okay, so by the coin toss, I'm the right-wing extremist this week, but I have to give it to you. That was really compelling, powerful. I mean, that was a very powerful way to send that message.
Especially with the gratuitous music.
Well, the president
had
didn't
no
use
part
the music last night, but
that was some theatrics done by our own Dr. K.
Just part of telling stories. So the other two voices in there were the two opposing viewpoints. We actually had three States of the Union last night. That first one was Marco Rubio, the freshman senator from.
What are you? You gotta lean into the mic. What are you doing?
I gotta reach over here and get my water.
They can't hear you.
I'm talking about Senator Rubio. If you don't get that reference, go look it up and you'll figure it out.
But, watch the video.
Yeah, had to lean over really far and get my water.
Your fresh, pure Florida water.
Exactly right. I think it was Polish Spring. He actually tweeted out the water bottle because you'll have to go look it up. If you haven't seen it, go take a look. It's sad because a very compelling 10-minute speech from Marco Rubio with the Republican response, and yet all anybody's talking about today is his water bottle, which is just sad.
Well, yeah, of course, because it's just the Republicans. I mean,
okay, nice.
It's not like they say anything different.
Well, I'm going to walk you through his direct, smart, insightful answers to the president. And in fact, the president was so wrong that two people lined up to talk about him. Rand Paul gave the Tea Party response, Kentucky Senator, Republican, son of Rand Paul from right here in Texas, the longtime congressman.
Paul.
So, yeah, Ron Paul from Texas, his son Rand Paul gave the Tea Party response last
now,
night.
Now, what's interesting, I love pointing this out. We might have already hit it last semester, but Rand Paul, named after Ron Paul's hero, Ayn Rand, an objectivist writer from Russia.
Exactly.
And basically
a
the leader
hero
of
to the right
the Tea Party.
And
yeah.
to anybody who believes in individual responsibility.
And objectivism.
Yeah, and the president talked last night about that concept of personal responsibility, you know, raising yourself by your bootstraps. But he talked about a whole lot of other things, too.
A lot of other things. A
ton of things on that.
Let's see, we have a nice laundry list here of things that he mentioned. Let's see, the economy, manufacturing, oil, gas, alternative fuels, global climate change. I wish I had like a thing where I could just like speed up where I'm talking because that's how I feel reading this.
Yeah, I like it.
Infrastructure,
all
Afghanistan, Iraq.
I think he talks about 70,000 bridges need work. Yeah, a number of things in foreign policy.
That makes you feel good driving across a bridge, doesn't it? Maybe that one is one that really needs it.
It would if I didn't think it was a hyperbolic number, but yeah, sure, go ahead.
North Korea, healthcare, education, immigration, women, gays. Can we say that on the air? we just did. Cybersecurity.
Gay women or gay men or how are we? Okay, I'm sure it's fine.
FCC, we're poor college students. And of course, our two favorite, taxes and guns.
Guns! Exactly.
And taxes.
Well, you heard how he touched on guns, and actually it was very touching, very emotional, and I thought that was a very powerful
way to portray
it.
That was a good play on words. It was touching because he touched on guns.
Nice. Now, exactly.
Okay, so these things he touched on, which of them do you think had the most substance? Would it be the big appeal to pass legislation about gun control? Do you feel like that was it, or was there something else in there that kind of like stood out to you, you know, as a conservative, something that you would want to take action on?
You know, there are a few things, a couple ironies about the guns. He came at that, and so it was at the end of the speech. It was very powerfully presented. The legislation is in the laps of congressmen. And so for that reason, I think that's the most powerful thing he touched on. He saved it till the end. Very powerful, very emotional.
Finished strong.
Very elegantly scripted and delivered. Ironically, a lot of the opposition to these gun control measures comes from Southern Democrats. A lot of these Democrats, they know they can't get reelected in their districts in Alabama, Georgia, parts of Texas. Are there Democrats in Texas still? Must be a couple in Austin.
One or two. You know, they just kind of sit on the sidewalk.
But there are Democrats in North Florida, in Louisiana, and they're not at all interested, and in fact would cost them the election if they voted for any kind of gun control.
Because
even,
of their constituency.
Even, quote, sensible gun control, because the folks who vote for them in their districts are not at all interested in any kind of gun control. And so I think part of that was cover or pressure on those Democrats to try to get them to come around on gun control. Another really interesting theme I saw recurring last night, the president of all people repeatedly sort of invoked state roles, state rights, very kind of a federalist appeal that appeared again and again.
Very conservative viewpoint.
Exactly. And I think he was trying to co-opt that, and I think that was interesting. We'll hear a little bit later when he talks about education. He talks about a preschool proposal, and he'd like to work. I love this. Now, I wonder, he says work with the states. Does he mean collaborate with the states and let the states innovate, and if they do something that's interesting and innovative and it works, they can get adopted in other states, a true federalist approach? Or by work with the states, does he mean create some dictate from on high in Washington that becomes an unfunded mandate that the states have to then institute? I'm wondering if that's what he means by work with the states.
Very, very conservative prediction there.
Yeah.
You don't think that it could possibly be something a lot more moderate? Something that makes sense, like the federal government setting some kind of standard that states can then adopt and plus or minus according to their state's needs.
Because a federal standard makes good sense because Massachusetts and Huntsville, Alabama are so much alike.
Yeah. Well, that's why it serves as a baseline. We talked about this last semester. Baseline.
Baseline budgeting, yeah.
Right, but it's sort of the same. Yeah, oh, my God. Next show.
The president's $2.5 trillion in deficit reduction clearly employs baseline budgeting. So maybe I will have to talk about it later. We'll see. He talked about that, I think, in the montage.
Yeah. So, aside from what were we just talking about? Aside from gun control,
a baseline standard, for example, for education.
See, I got so just confounded at you.
I work that way.
Ruin. I can't do this show now.
What is this?
Oh my God! Conservative. Right. So, fighting right there.
So let's do this. Let's take a break.
Let me get my mind right again after that distraction.
Christina and my good friend Bianca, who's going to handle the break here, taking over in the studio. So
if
you guys will take a break for us, we'll play a little music. We'll get Anthony, you know, organized because he's trying to argue an indefensible position.
Whoa.
We'll come back and resume in a minute.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show." And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough."
You know, my daughter plays violin, but not like that. That song never gets old.
You'll have to teach it to her. You're a prodigy daughter. Welcome back to The Devil's Advocate here on KTXT, The Raider 88.1.
I don't teach my kids much. It's usually the other way around.
Well, whose fault is that?
Yeah, this reporting by smartphone, not my idea. It's a fun class, but...
Oh, so now you're just trying to recruit people to your class.
That's a great class. We're shooting video in the studio with two cell phones. We even have a tripod and a telephoto lens. Just proselytizing.
Someone with all this spare money over
EMC here. EMC 6315, if you happen to be a graduate student in the College of Media and Communication. I'm just saying.
Speaking of creative reporting, the Raider has been gracious enough to let us use their studios. So if you want to join the conversation with us or with the Raider at any time, say for their morning show, 8 to 9 a.m. Mondays and Wednesdays, or The Devil's Advocate Wednesdays from 5 to 6, just tweet at The Raider 881, look at their Facebook page, or you can hit us up on Twitter as well. The Devil's Ad, it's Dev Ad. I had to get really, really creative with it because all the other good ones were taken.
You only have 140 characters, so you know.
I had to chop it down a lot. It's you can look it up on our website, ktxtfm.org, because I'm not going to spell it out on the air.
That's an easier way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but yeah. So the Raider 881 on Twitter and the Raider 88.1 on Facebook. So yeah, definitely look us up. Take a look. We'll try to employ, probably not today because we haven't prepared, but some comments. And we talk politics every week.
Every week. So you can start throwing them in, and we'll mention you on air, give a shout out. Anybody who has an opinion is more than welcome on this show.
Yeah, if they'll let us come on and do this, anybody's valid. So
seriously. So speaking of opinions,
yeah,
the president's, one of the big things last night
was... His favorite topic.
Yeah, our favorite topic, because there's not enough equal... You know what? Never mind. Just roll the clip.
You going to say there aren't enough taxes? Is that what you were going to say? We don't pay enough taxes?
I wasn't going to say there's enough equality in taxes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Who pays taxes? Half the population? How equal do you want it? How about we get everybody paying taxes? You know, I agree. It would be good to have some
equality. Would you roll the clip?
Obama on tax return, please, Bianca, when you get a chance. Thank you.
But his favorite attack of all is that those of us who don't agree with him, that we only care about rich people. Mr. President... I still live in the same working class neighborhood.
We'll reduce taxpayer subsidies to prescription drug companies and ask more from the wealthiest seniors to hit the rest of our deficit reduction target. We should do what leaders in both parties have already suggested and save hundreds of billions of dollars by getting rid of tax loopholes and deductions for the well-off and the well-connected. After all, why would we choose to make deeper cuts to education and Medicare just to protect special interest tax breaks? How is that fair? Why is it that deficit reduction is a big emergency, justifying making cuts in Social Security benefits but not closing some loopholes. The American people deserve a tax code that helps small businesses spend less time filling out complicated forms and more time expanding and hiring. A tax code that ensures billionaires with high-powered accountants can't work the system and pay a lower rate than their hard-working secretaries. A tax code that lowers incentives to move jobs overseas and lowers tax rates for businesses and manufacturers that are creating jobs right here in the United States of America. That's what tax reform can deliver. That's what we can do together.
That is what tax reform can do. Bring good, hardworking jobs to America's shores.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're not giving, you know, high-powered corporations with their high, I love how they called it high-powered accountants.
Yes, high-powered accountants.
Like a can, power drill, like yeah. A high-powered power drill.
Yeah, nice.
Because they're, you know, chewing away at our tax code.
So they can take loopholes. Advantage of the loopholes. I love that language. Okay, so except what's the problem with loopholes? They're legally passed, widely adopted, bipartisan deductions. So, for example, we just reached a billion-dollar capital campaign. Way to go, Chancellor Hansen, President Skovanec. nicely done. Texas Tech just successfully announced the completion last week of a billion-dollar capital campaign, Vision and Tradition. It's a pretty exciting time to be here, actually, because the money's rolling in. And every penny of that $1 billion was on somebody's tax reforms as a deduction. And they're going to get multi-year deductions. Folks who give millions every year, they're not loopholes. They're deductions. They're legal. They were agreed on in Congress. They were passed by everybody. The president signed them, for crying out loud.
Right, but you're talking about a deduction for charitable donations to an education. That's like to an educational facility. That's like, you know, giving money to the future, basically. A lot of these deductions that are called loopholes are decades old, things that were passed in the 50s and 60s to get people to invest in things like the highway system.
Well, but they're all designed to somehow influence social policy. I'll give you an example. The mortgage interest deduction was encouraged. It was designed to encourage people to stop renting and buy a house, and they could get a bit of a tax break. You have kids, and that's a tax deduction, too.
And per so, kid, it's you know, like $3,000 per kid.
Yeah, yeah, per child. And so that adds up nicely. So that's why I actually have two kids, but on my tax returns, it's four. No, just kidding. But anyway, yeah, these are deductions. They're designed to shape social policy. All of the lawmakers do it. They play with special, quote, special interests. Look, I gave you an example. It was a bunch of farm policy deductions.
Yeah, and the subsidies for like corn and cotton.
Exactly. And those all fit in that same category. They're, quote, loopholes to favor an industry.
Well, look, I mean, throughout the tax code history, are these deductions taken away? Like whenever they reform these deductions, they add more, but do they ever take some away?
Yeah, look, just like any federal government department, nothing ever goes away. No deduction ever goes away. No entitlement ever goes away. And that's a constant frustration of me, of Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, everybody on the right, drives the Tea Partiers crazy, because once you put something in place, it never goes away. And it's infuriating. The reason it bothers me is, you know, the president has these policies and uses these absurd arguments. We have to keep spending. We can't, quote, make all of the deficit reduction be cuts in spending. We have to go after these loopholes. Well, this is infuriating, because the, quote, loopholes, the deductions, that was the opening position by John Boehner and other Republicans to try and balance the budget. Rather than raising tax rates, they wanted to simplify the tax code and get rid of some of these deductions, which would bring more money into the government and simplify the tax code and get some more people paying taxes.
So when Boehner says that it's okay, but when President Obama says it's not okay, and it's suddenly a liberal agenda.
Here was the deal. Boehner and the Republicans wanted to do that instead of raising the marginal rate. Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Obama insisted, no, we need to raise the marginal rate. We need to raise the tax rate percentage on taxpayers. So what the compromise was we're going to raise the rate, and we did. We raised it from 30, the highest marginal tax rate went from 35% to 39.5%, 39.6. Back to the marginal rate, as you pointed out to me earlier in the break.
That's the Clinton era.
Bill Clinton era tax rates.
Right. And we had a booming economy in the late 90s.
Yeah, because of the internet. Exactly.
Well,
thank you.
Don't say all that. It's because we had these kinds of these taxes, and we were able to invest in our infrastructure, in our economy. And it wasn't these companies and these billionaires using their high-powered accountants to suck the money from what should be able to clip back into our social
structure. Okay, I guess you're right. Al Gore used the money to create the internet, and so that's what the government did. And then,
well, except, if you want to put it like that.
Except isn't it Apple that has $80 billion in the bank, which is more cash on hand than most countries? And, oh, wait, that's a private company that employs thousands and thousands of people
and has all kinds of
itinerant jobs. For example, the coin flip app we use today, somebody got paid for that.
So are you using trickle-down economy on my show?
Excuse me, whose show? And clearly, yes.
Oh, because that obviously works.
All right, as long as we're talking about the right-wing extreme position, which is the one I'm arguing today, let's go ahead and give Marco Rubio, the Florida senator, a chance.
We already gave him his shot. We had to cut him off halfway because that was just getting ridiculous.
That was just a tease, and he's only a minute, so we'll go ahead and let him play.
Neighborhood I grew up in. My neighbors aren't millionaires. They're retirees who depend on Social Security and Medicare. They're workers who have to get up early tomorrow morning and go to work to pay the bills. They're immigrants who came here because they were stuck in poverty in the countries where the government dominated the economy. The tax increases and the deficit spending you propose will hurt middle-class families. It will cost them their raises. It will cost them their benefits. It may even cost some of them their jobs. And it will hurt seniors because it does nothing to save Medicare and Social Security. So, Mr. President, I don't oppose your plans because I want to protect the rich. I oppose your plans because I want to protect my neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That first of all, ridiculous thing saying that the government is out to get these people who hit Marco Rubio's neighbors. Like, this entire administration has been fighting for immigrants, middle class, people who are in poverty, seniors, and they're blaming the government for taking money away from these massive companies who are apparently too greedy to cut into their profits a little bit to help keep these people keep their jobs, keep their medical. They're blaming the government instead of the companies that refuse to adjust their profit margins for their employees.
Well, so who cares more about Marco Rubio's neighbors, Barack Obama, who spends his time in elite neighborhoods in Washington and Chicago, or Marco Rubio, who's still in the house he's lived in with his family for decades now? I mean, come on, give me a break.
That sounds like a good sob story.
You're talking
Should
about
I feel the, bad for Marco Rubio?
Do we need a train whistle and a guitar playing? So we have the government trying to soak these productive companies. Is General Electric breaking any laws in the way they work within the tax code and pay their taxes? Everything they do is legal. It's all set up. Again, they're not loopholes, they're deductions. It's all done above board. And the president hasn't seemed to needed to bring in more money because he's been spending $1 trillion in deficit spending every year. I say, even raise the money? Just print more cash.
Makes the conservatives cry.
Do we have a printer here on the radio station?
They get on our radio programs like this, and they sob and weep about the deficit like it's literally punching them in the face every morning when they wake up. So we have to bring in this income so that you can pretend like your lives will be better if we have a $5 trillion deficit instead of a 16.
Yeah, but listen, here's the thing you forget. A bigger company that employs more people creates more taxpayers. Growing companies, growing economies brings more money into the federal government. It's happened every time it's been tried.
It also buys those CEOs another jet.
Well, come on.
I mean, you know, they build these hangars, and sure, someone will get paid $7.50 an hour to build that hangar.
You got to pay a pilot, Tony. Come on.
Well,
I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. Plus, have you seen what JP4 jet fuel costs? Kerosene's expensive these days. Look, here's a little tease.
They make jet fuel out of kerosene.
Yeah, they do, actually. You can smell it when you're out
today
there.
Today I learned.
Here's a little tease. By the way, Marco Rubio went to one of my alma maters, the U, University of Miami. He's got a law degree from there. And he just recently paid off, he said, his student loans, which I thought was fascinating because he's been out of law school for a while. Don't run up six-figure debt unless you're going to go to law school. Just a tip. The tease is we're going to talk about education coming up next. But let's take another little break, and then we'll come back and discuss their duel over education. We might even sprinkle a little Rick Perry into that conversation, so stand by.
Oh,
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT The Raider 88.1, guest hosted on TTUHub.net, courtesy of the Hub at TTU, a new media platform here at the College of Media and Communications. I'm trying to talk as fast as I can so that I can keep Dr. K off the microphone because he's been posturing these terrible things.
Let me lean over here and get my water again.
Yeah, you do that. Just give me a little more time. While he's doing that, our next segment is going to be education. We've got about half the show left. We're going to divide that between national education and local education, something that everybody can feel involved in.
We'll divide it between common sense and Tony also.
Well,
hey,
those are the same thing. I mean, I can't help it if you're like over there with your expensive Dasani water, who pay no contributions
Polish
to the
Spring.
Show.
It's an homage to Marco Rubio. Come on. Hey, you know what looks really good, by the way?
What's that?
Christina's killing me with that donut, man. Krispy Kreme donuts, but it's like two booths away, 10 feet, two windows. It's just torture. Okay, sorry.
If it was me.
Can you picture it? You can smell it on the radio, can't you?
Yeah. Okay. It's big, too, like those big. Okay. Anyway.
All right.
Big, delicious donuts.
So you go ahead and spout about education, and then I.
Yeah, you just sit over there and date.
And then I, with my three college degrees, will opine with some expertise after that. So.
Okay. Okay. Well. Good night, everybody.
What's that? My head doesn't fit in this room? You're right. Okay, sorry. Shame on me.
Well, if I earned a doctorate degree, I'd feel the same.
No, as soon as my wife and kids hear this, there's going to be a big old smackdown. So just
maybe I'll get her on the next show.
Exactly.
Hey, Nuri, what do you think of Kelly and his 3 degrees? Can you play the college education clip for us real fast before he gets going again?
Obama on college education.
Most young people will need some higher education. It's a simple fact. The more education you've got, the more likely you are to have a good job and work your way into the middle class. But today, skyrocketing costs price too many young people out of a higher education or saddle them with unsustainable debt. Through tax credits, grants, and better loans, we've made college more affordable for millions of students and families over the last few years. But taxpayers can't keep on subsidizing higher and higher and higher costs for higher education. Colleges must do their part to keep costs down, and it's our job to make sure that they do. So tonight, I ask Congress to change the Higher Education Act so that affordability and value are included in determining which colleges receive certain types of federal aid. And tomorrow, my administration will release a new college scorecard that parents and students can use to compare schools based on a simple criteria, where you can get the most bang for your educational buck.
More bang for your educational buck. Now, I want to start this off qualifying. This entire argument is about young people getting education.
Okay, I'm out.
Yeah, so, I mean, somebody's birthday to get today.
Whoa, wait, who?
It's not mine.
I better check my Facebook and see. Okay.
Yeah, that's how you know it's your birthday, when people start flooding your Facebook. It is Dr. Caulfield's birthday today, and we've been giving him hell because I think he stayed up so he could party all night. He certainly wasn't doing work.
Yeah,
last
I was
night.
Up till 2:30 in the morning editing audio because the speeches didn't end until about 10 central, and then I had to download a new tool. It's a sob story, but I slept about 3.5 hours. So I'm really out of it today.
I'm feeling so bad, not because of that, but because this is the same thing you do almost every day when you have to teach.
Yeah. So
your 2.5 hours of sleep matches about mine.
Okay, nice. And me being out of it, you said earlier, is different hell. Okay, nice. nice.
at all.
Yeah. Okay.
So the education thing, obviously, it's become kind of a hot topic, and it's important to us here at Texas Tech University.
Yeah, because I was observing, I have 10 years of college. You're about there too, aren't you? About 10 years of...
Well, I mean... They just can't keep me away. You know, Dean Hudson is like, you need to graduate. And I'm like, no, that's okay.
Tony's actually a fourth-year senior, if I'm not mistaken,
graduated
with a minor.
In May.
Yeah, he's on time.
Fingers
so
crossed.
He's not one of those.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the most...
for those 2 years I had in junior college.
Shh.
Anyway.
Hey, those count. They transfer. And you know what?
They were
cheaper than a big state university, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
So,
actually.
See, interesting proposal. There are ways to cut the cost of college.
Yeah, well, don't even get me started on junior college.
Okay, well, I jumped the fence because everybody was taking out student loans, and the economics of teaching at college seemed a lot stronger than the economics of the newsrooms where I had been working. Sad but true. Actually, it's one of my considerations.
Well, you know what they say.
And now, like a bad penny, everybody's following me. Yeah, nice. And everybody's following me here. That hurts, except the check still cashes, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. At the end of the day.
Exactly. Here's a stunning and shocking and dismaying piece of trivia about this. Student loan debt surpassed last year credit card debt as the largest single area of debt among Americans. And I think that's a real shame. And it's up over $1 trillion student loan debt spread across the country. So a whole lot of students are getting college degrees, probably in places like art history and, God forgive me, and my wife will smack me, but print journalism. And we hope you make enough money to pay those student loans back, you know?
You know, you're going to go back to your office, and Dr. Sadoff is going to be waiting for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's going to be trouble. Dr. Dean's down the hall, and I'm in big trouble, so yeah.
Oh, and Wernsman, too.
Yeah, I'm a dead man.
And Bruton. Man, you're going to be walking the gauntlet when you go upstairs today.
I'm
Guffled, I heard you say something about newspapers.
Let's hope nobody's listening to the show. Sorry, Derek.
Ouch. This is my show. Don't say bad things about my show.
Our show. Okay.
So, Dr. K, I'm obligated, kind of like politics is. I have to give him his fair share. Marco Rubio had something to say about education, too.
He did have an answer. He had some insightful thoughts on it.
So why don't you play that for us, and we'll try to get it over as fast as possible.
Helping the middle class grow will also require an education system that gives people the skills today's jobs entail and the knowledge that tomorrow's world will require. We need to incentivize local school districts to offer more advanced placement courses and more vocational and career training. And we need to give all parents, especially the parents of children with special needs, the opportunity to send their children to the school of their choice. And because college tuition costs have grown so fast, we need to change the way we pay for higher education. Now, I believe in federal financial aid. I couldn't have gone to college without it. But it's not just about spending more money. It's also about strengthening and modernizing them. The 21st century workforce should not be forced to accept 20th century education solutions. Today's students aren't only 18-year-olds. They're returning veterans. They're single parents who decide to get the education they need to earn a decent wage. And they're workers who have lost jobs that are never coming back and need to be retrained. We need student aid that does not discriminate against programs that non-traditional students rely on, like online courses or degree programs that give you credit for work experience. When I finished school, I owed over $100,000 in student loans, a debt I paid off just a few months ago. Today, many graduates face massive student loans. We must give students more information on the costs and benefits of the student loans they're taking out.
Yeah, Tony's
doing the chop on here.
Yeah, because it's the only Florida school not covered by Marco Rubio. I don't know how he doesn't kill himself. He's a Gator and a Hurricane.
Well,
he went to the University of Florida, undergrad,
I think
got a law degree.
The pile of money he's sitting on from those two schools
will
help him feel a little bit better.
Maybe. I'll tell you, a law degree from the University of Miami, which is a private institution, is not a cheap degree. So I
like
suspect.
Like you said, over $100,000.
Yeah.
And he wants me to feel bad for him when he's up there. You know,
he's
Dr.
not
K,
asking you to pay for it.
Well,
he paid for it himself.
Well,
made the last payment just recently.
Well, Dr. K had a very quaint observation that I'm going to steal if you want. It was funny to me. If you want to make money, go to Washington. If you want to earn money, become an engineer.
Hey, my wife's calling. Should I put her on the radio?
Yes.
Hang on just a second. Hey, Nuri, we're on the radio. So do you want to talk? I'll put you on the speaker.
Yeah. Make sure you tell him happy birthday.
You're on,
he's nice and
you're on the radio, so wish me happy birthday.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, say happy birthday because you're on the radio show.
I am?
Yeah, you're on the speaker.
Dr. K's wife, Nuri Valbona, is a photojournalist.
Clearly the smart person in the family.
Got much experience, won a Nobel Prize.
A Pulitzer Prize finalist.
Got my prizes.
Tony just said you won a Nobel Prize. She's a much bigger peacekeeper than I'll ever be. I will give her that.
Boy, I would love to win a Nobel Prize for Peace. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, and I'm sure not going to get that.
Yeah, he wouldn't because he's over here advocating for guns and war.
I'm the right winger today. Forgive me.
Well, that suits you, especially on your birthday. Happy birthday, sweetheart.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, but I'll give you a holler back after the show, but thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Nuri.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you guys were done. Have a good day.
Okay, thanks. Bye. I'll see you.
She's sweet.
I have always wanted to do that. And actually, she's pretty good on the radio, so we may have to do that. It's pretty funny because whichever position I take, she'll correct me and inform me and instruct me, and I'll learn. So it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, it's good that she came on there to tell you how it is. That ate up a couple of minutes, which is good because I was starting to run out of fuel.
Look, there's a lot more to talk about. Let's talk a little more about education. One of the most, this is going to pain a lot of people when I say this out loud, one of the national innovators in education right now is, guess who, Tony?
Who? Surprise me.
Take a guess.
Texas Tech University.
I'll give you a hint. It's right here in Texas. It's not Texas Tech. A lot of people are shocked by this.
You're not going to say what I think you're
You bet
say.
I am.
It is not the evil empire.
I'm not talking about an institution. I'm talking about a person.
Oh.
Pointy Boots.
Who?
The longest serving governor in the history of the state of Texas.
Our esteemed leader, Governor Rick Perry.
Yeah, so he has a couple of proposals, and they cause a lot of gray hairs in the academy, but a couple of really interesting proposals. One is he'd like a $10,000 degree. And one of the strategies is you spend a year or two at a junior college. Bigger schools are more receptive to transferring those credits. Great, great way to spend very little money your first 2 years.
Absolutely. It's really good for getting your core classes out
of the way. You do the
your
cores,
English
they transfer.
Is your math.
Fundamentals,
yeah, and
you
really
spent
easily.
A couple grand in a year instead of a lot more. And, you commute, you don't live on campus, tremendous savings. The other policy, again, led by Perry, which I think is an interesting policy, is a lock when you come in your first year. That's the same tuition you pay each of your 4 years. The tuition is by law not allowed to go up until the fifth year. These are not policies. They're both proposals. But a lot of universities are working with these, looking into these, researching them, including Texas Tech, looking for innovative ways to do it.
Chancellor Hans, didn't he announce that we had we went to the Texas Trib Fest last September.
That's right.
And didn't he announce that we have a $10,000 scholarship program?
Yeah.
Degree program?
Right. We're instituting that policy here at Tech. And then another side benefit of the tuition lock, the four-year frozen tuition, is that obviously it encourages students to do, and I teased him earlier, but to do what Tony's doing, get out in 4 years and graduate on time. And it's another way to save money. And it's also an incentive. You don't want to stick around for your last year because it's about to get more expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, luckily, for me, my tuition has been hiking up every year. But a nice segue into our next talking about rising fees and rising tuition costs.
But bunch of other issues still from the State of the Union. And it's interesting, these policies. Rubio focused more on higher education. College, he did mention some things for elementary, middle, high schools.
But the president focused on something at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right.
Pre-K, a national sort of mandate for public pre-K schools.
With incentives.
With incentives.
Or deductions. Or
there was an interesting line he said in here. Let me see if I can find it in my notes. It was, for every dollar we invest in pre-K programs, we can save $7 later on from such things as pregnancy, crime, and dropouts.
Yeah, that's a fascinating number. My guess is, like all things in Washington in both parties, that's probably some hyperbole and a cherry-picked number, and it's probably higher.
But
however,
it still sounds good.
However, if there is, and we've shown this, there's definitely a correlation between getting into those schools, getting education, preschool, and frankly, better social behaviors later in life. And it makes sense. You're not building prisons. You're not housing prisoners. You're not dealing with single moms who have to work, who need childcare, and all of the itinerant costly things, frankly, to society that come with somebody not getting a good start, not being able to read by age 6.
This is something that, us here in Texas, we can relate to because Mayor Castro, a Democratic hero, basically.
Julian Castro from San Antonio.
Yes, Julian Castro from San Antonio sponsored, and the city council passed a mandate for preschool education in San Antonio. The program was called Pre-K4SA.
That's a great idea. I love that idea. That's brilliant.
I think
hate the presidents, but I love Castro's. Do you know why?
Why?
Of course, you know why. Come on, you know me.
No.
Because I'm a federalist. It's local. I could care less what they do in Massachusetts or San Antonio. It's a local
States
decision.
Rights.
It's their money. It's their decision. I'm all for it.
Right.
They can do things I just can't stand, and I just
thought
won't
you were
going
to make a Fidel joke. I mean, no. That's what I was looking for.
No, I'm not going to go there after 15 years in Miami. We used to say the most important politician in South Florida is Fidel Castro, and it's absolutely true. But no, in Texas.
That's cold. Like.
It was sad. But yeah, interesting issues, interesting policies. The president's proposal, of course, has in common all of his other proposals, which is it's going to cost federal money. He wants to create incentives, which is cash flowing from producers like Bill Gates and people at General Electric. And he's going to take their money and redistribute it that we can pay for these preschool programs.
All that money.
Yeah, and Julian Castro has found a way to do it without asking the federal government for any money. And I think that's always a better way to handle it.
Some kind of like it's the same thing with smaller scale, and you feel like that's somehow better than what we're trying
clearly,
to do.
Clearly, always. And if it works there, then it can be mimicked elsewhere. What do you want to bet it's not mimicked in like some small towns in rural Georgia? Okay, sorry to pick on Georgia.
They barely have K there. We're going to get sued.
Shame on us. A bunch of other issues on the table. The president announced, I love this, he's given away, if you're a member of Al-Qaeda and you've been looking to plan your calendar for the next year.
You get a free drone strike this year.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. One of the other things the president's done that I approve of, of course.
United States.
No, actually, if you want to put this on your Microsoft Outlook calendar, the end of next year, we will withdraw the last 34,000 U.S. troops from Afghanistan.
So you can go back home.
Exactly. You can go home or start planning to migrate your operations to Europe and target Americans there, or however you want to handle it.
You want our men and women to stay in combat.
No, I just
too late. You already said it. You want our people to stay in Afghanistan. You obviously just do not want a withdrawal plan at all.
Let me get Israel to send an email to Ahmadinejad, giving him the date, time, and location of whatever their strike is going to be against his nuclear program. It's essentially what the president did with Afghanistan. So that's all I'm saying.
I think that's a little immature to say.
Wait, you saying Ahmadinejad doesn't have email? Come on, they're building a nuclear weapon. It's not a third world country, for crying out loud.
Well, I mean, define third world.
Okay, well, just hope he doesn't get a message delivered from the Mossad by cell phone, because that tends to end badly for folks they don't like in Israel. So.
Mossad. Oh, those are some heroes. Speaking of third world countries, Todd Chambers just walked in the room.
And some expertise in radio production. Dr. Chambers was actually on another radio station, not the one we listened to. Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said it.
He and the dean did a nice little talk over there about the college and about things like KTXT, the Raider, 88.1 FM.
On Twitter.
Yeah, nice promotion.
The Raider 88.1.
Nicely done. Very good. By the way, if you want to listen, it's posted on SoundCloud. So yeah, if you go look around there, you can hear Dr. Chambers and Dr. Hudson on the radio. Come join us. We're going to talk SGA in a second. Okay. He's giving us that look that says, no, you guys are doing just fine. And by the way, you're fired after this hour.
Yeah, he's the guy that signs our paychecks. Bianca, why don't you give us another break and we can get ready to transition to the next segment. Give us a segment to get everything.
Cause my mind is fading, and everywhere I look there's a dead end waiting. Temperatures dropping at the rotten oasis, stealing kisses from the leprous faces. Heads are hanging from the garbage man trees, mouthwash, jukebox, gasoline. Pistols are pointing at a poor man's pockets, smiling eyes ripping out of his sockets. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut. On the sympathy crutches, discount orgies on the dropout buses, hitching a ride with the bleeding noses, coming to town with the briefcase blues. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind.
Hey, welcome back to The Devil's Advocate on 88.1, The Raider.
KTXT.
Are we done?
You took my intro.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I thought
okay.
It was my turn.
Well.
Okay, wait. I'll stop. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider, 88.1.
So much better.
KTXTFM.org and TTUHub.net for the hub at TTU.
I just like when he finishes with The Raider. I just
The
love
Raider.
It. Yeah, I love it.
It took me forever to get that right.
Okay,
just like it
done.
Took me forever to say Lubbock.
All right, so we have some local politics going on, too.
We decided we'd bring it back home since Dr. K enjoys his, you know, limited scope politics, doesn't get outside the city lines. Although
we are starting to talk guns here on Texas campuses too, so
guns
yeah,
up.
I'm pretty gratified. Exactly.
So we're going into student government, something that I have a great interest in for a number of reasons.
Tony's actually a beat reporter for the Hub and KTXT and whoever else will run his stuff, like our TV newscast.
I just kind of like pitched at them and they sometimes pick it up.
Yeah.
Why don't you play the story so that I can get a self promotion here?
February 7th Senate meeting was held by President Pro Temp Matt Pippen and began with a number of confirmations from the Senate Rules and Administration Committee doing its best to fill in holes left from last semester. Afterwards was Senate open forum period. This time, it wasn't friendly reminders and memos that the Senate heard about. Rather, an inflammatory criticism by former Senator and former Chief Justice Stuart Williams.
And most of you are sitting there looking at me right now. You don't care. You don't care. And that's fine. But just leave. Just leave. Because you represent me. You're the only thing between me and the administration.
Next, legislation. One of the pieces of legislation proposed was another campus infrastructure piece, put forward by Senator Pippen and Luke Cotton. The resolution would support a shared use path between the Engineering Key and Murray Hall, for use by both bikers and walkers to help biking students go from one to the other without worry of tickets. The bill alludes to a larger biking initiative to come next year.
The Senate also passed legislation in an attempt to preserve Urbanovsky Park, trying to keep any kind of construction from taking away such things as the volleyball courts or the barbecue pit, which many students and organizations hold events and parties at throughout the year.
This bill, another campus infrastructure piece, is a result of rumors the senators heard.
When Urbanovsky served as an administrator here, he basically took Texas Tech from a dust bowl to one of the most beautiful campuses in the state of Texas. So we want to preserve it for as long as possible until Texas Tech and the administration has a full plan set up to how they're going to build these buildings, these academic buildings around the Student Rec Center.
Another piece of important legislation that was discussed was the placement of a student, namely the student body president, onto all presidential and dean search councils, which the Senate believes need student representation. The bill would apply to all future councils and would join the faculty senate representative as a full voting member.
And obviously, the chancellor and Dr. Skovanek are not exactly going to be saying, "Hey, yeah, let me go find a student." So,
all of this legislation can be viewed at sga.ttu.edu. The next Senate meeting is scheduled for 6 p.m. Thursday, February.
Oh no, it cut off. The next meeting is scheduled for February 21st at 6 p.m. in the College of Media and Communications.
That's
room
amazing.
353.
See,
I have that memorized.
My age, I can't remember how to drive to work, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, that's because you can afford a chauffeur. Dr. Coffee. Today in the studio with us, we have Senator Matt Pippen, a senior engineering student from, where are you from, Matt?
Monahans, Texas.
Where?
Monahans. Right by Odessa.
Oh, cool. Okay. Matt was actually featured in that last story. He held the last Senate meeting in President Noel Trotter's absence. President Pro Temp.
We're not going to have attendance issues again, are we, this semester? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if you should be asking about that.
Okay, we better not go there.
We Wait, we don't want
Matt looks
Mr.
mad.
Haber.
He's storming out. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we don't want Mr. Haber knocking on our door. There we go. What were you saying on the
Do
radio?
We need to get permission before we interview Matt? I forgot about that.
We won't go into that.
Too late now.
Matt, why don't you tell us about
We'll
some
ask
of the...
in about 10 minutes.
why don't you tell us about some of the stuff the campus infrastructure is doing? Like, mention the park thing and this shared use path.
Oh, what sure. Just lead the to? Witness. Right.
Well...
Sure. So right now we're evaluating two different things. Well, we're evaluating a wide range of different things around campus. We have input from a variety of different people and organizations on campus. But two of the things that we submitted in front of the Student Senate this past week was one proposal on Urbanovsky Park. There have been several rumors and different things that have been floating around the SGA office and around administration that some action might occur on the Urbanovsky Park. And we think that it's very important for students to have that recreational space. So we had a resolution that ensured that Urbanovsky Park, we spread the message to the administration to protect it. And number two, we also noticed that there's a lack of a shared use path. We took advantage of some of student input saying that that's a very problematic area for them. Obviously, police officers on campus can be very strict sometimes about the way that they enforce biking rules.
No.
Surprise. So we wanted to make sure, and from student input, make sure that we had safe legal options for them to be able to get around campus. And this was one of the problematic areas where if you wanted to get from somewhere in the engineering key to Murray Hall, you're going a very long distance route. So we want to work with not only our biking committee on campus, but university parking and transportation, and ensure that we're providing students with safe, easy, legal paths to get around campus.
So there was some kind of biking initiative mentioned. Isn't that something that our external vice president is working on?
Sure. So biking initiatives are split throughout SGA. We have things from biking going through the external vice president. We have biking initiatives that will occasionally be brought into the campus infrastructure committee. And then we have a biking committee that handles biking issues as well. So biking is a very important issue to SGA, and we think it is to many, many students as well.
So if biking is such a big thing, how can students like get in touch with you guys? Like, say they're bikers. What is a couple of good ways for them to get in touch with you guys?
The first thing they can come do is establish contact with us in the SGA office. Come up to the third floor of the sub, the two double doors that say SGA on them. Come and talk to us. If you'd like to contact me personally, I'm matt@pippen, matt.pippen@ttu.edu. Let's talk about what your problems are with campus biking. Let's figure out what ways we can improve it. Are we doing a good job? I think that there's obviously lots of areas that we can improve in. So I love to hear whatever student feedback we can get all the time.
Aside from these campus infrastructure things, is what else big is SGA working on lately?
Sure. So we have two other things that are going to be appearing on the spring general election ballot, and I think those are two major SGA issues right now. And number one, that's going to be smoking and how it should be regulated on campus. So should we have a smoke-free campus? Should we have a tobacco-free campus? Should we keep rules and regulations the way they are? Or should we just even get rid of those rules and regulations? We want students' input and feedback on what the appropriate action is for smoking, because that does seem to be a big hot-button issue that was actually brought to SGA by students, and we've had that issue in previous years as well. So that's one. Number two is going to be the issue of guns, concealed carry on campus. That's been a hot button issue for many years.
Told you.
And of course, it's going to be a very opinionated issue here in Texas on how students feel on both sides of the issue. So what we want to do is on this ballot, take a poll of what students feel is the appropriate action to be taken by SGA. And we'll report that information and whatever else information that we can acquire over future meetings and town halls.
Probably a good issue to be diplomatic on while you're approaching students.
I actually attended both of the smoking town halls that a couple of graduate senators hosted.
He had to step out of a couple of the town halls for a minute to go have
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I was like, guys, I got to take a break, a smoke break. They didn't appreciate that too much. No, I didn't really do that. But just so we're clear, didn't really do that. It was very, even that topic, it wasn't even guns. There was a lot of division in that town hall. I mean, there were students literally turning around and going, no, shut up. And it was kind of a big deal.
Just on smoking.
Yeah, just on smoking, not even guns. It's going to be worse.
So I have a running joke. I tell people, colleagues from around here, look, it's fine to yell guns up and throw your hand in the air unless you're at the airport in the security line. If you just see me there, just keep your mouth shut. Matt Pippen, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your work and your experience. And yeah, it was great having you join the show, catch us up on some issues. And we are out of time for this week. So thank you for joining us. This is our first show back for the spring semester and for the year 2013.
That's right. right. Stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be coming back with a very interesting and special show. We have a new format we're going to be looking at. Make sure that you check us out at ttuhub.net. And as always, KTXT The Raider 88.1 at The Raider 881 on Twitter and ktxtfm.org. Thanks and have a great afternoon, you guys.